This week on Trek, we are delighted to be joined by marathon runner and newly announced England athlete for the upcoming Commonwealth Games in Birmingham in July, George Spining. George ran her marathon PB of almost 4 minutes, clocking a 2:31.25 in Manchester, during which she secured third place at both the European and Commonwealth Games qualifying time. George runs for Cambridge Runners and has a background in duathlon, in which she has a World Junior Championship, a European Under-23 Championship, and was the bronze medalist at senior level in 2018 at the World Champs in Denmark. George is, for now, focused on marathon running and will hit the streets of Birmingham in an England vest in July. So we are delighted that she's agreed to chat all things running to us here at Trek. Hi, George. How are you?
Hi. Good, thank you.
Good, good. Well, thank you very much for taking some time out and talking to us here. We're speaking on a sort of a Friday mid-morning. What's on the cards for today? Are you working today or?
Yes, I am working. Yeah. So I work full time and taking some lunch break to have a chat.
That's perfect. And how do you find that balance then, working full time and obviously running and cycling at a very high level? How does that work for you, that balance?
So I find running fits quite well with working full time. There's only so many hours of the day you can actually spend running, otherwise your body just couldn't cope with it. So I think it fits well. I kind of run before work and then either fit in a lunch run or an evening run, just depending on what's going on. I think if I started working before marathon training, I think that would have been harder, whereas I'd kind of been doing kind of training from kind of my teenage years, so I'd kind of learned how to build in that routine and that schedule. I think it would be more daunting if I'd taken it up kind of after I started working and got used to not having to train.
Okay, and we'll get into it in a minute or a little while, the fact that you've got a background in triathlon and duathlon as well as running. So when you're in the midst of perhaps having to swim potentially and cycle and run, is that a bit more of a balance to strike?
So I haven't done triathlons for quite a long time. I've never really had to balance full-time work with running, swimming and cycling. That was more when I was going through kind of school and university. I was more doing that. And I think that would be a significant challenge, because particularly with the swim, you've got to combine in the time of like getting to the pool, and there's lots of kind of time either side. Running is a lot more compatible with working than doing triathlon. And particularly with the bike as well, you've got to spend, a bike ride can be 4 hours. That doesn't quite fit in so well with, life.
Great. Okay. And in terms of today, have you done your running for today, or are you about to go out, or what's on the training schedule today?
I ran this morning and I'll go out again this evening. Nothing particularly exciting or fast or far, just I think I did 19k.
Okay. And you run for Cambridge Runners. So are you based in Cambridge and you use the roads and the areas around Cambridge for most of your training?
I live kind of 5k from the center, but Cambridge is really small. It's kind of less than 10k from one side to the other, and it has. So what's quite nice is that I'm quite close to fields and kind of trails and footpaths, but then also quite close to kind of quite good road running as well. But to be honest, with marathon training at the moment, I've tended to stick to the roads because I'm just so worried about twisting my ankle, and particularly now the grass is all grown up and hiding all the little rabbit holes and stuff. So I've been sticking to the road. And there are good paths, but I try and kind of I have some routes that I kind of stick to, you know, because with the marathon running, you've got so many miles to do. So just try and kind of switch off, which is more difficult to do if you're kind of constantly, you know, planning where you're going to go next. So yeah, I do kind of stick to a few routes.
Great. Okay. Well, we'll get into your training in a bit more detail, if that's okay with you, in a little while. But I suppose, first of all, there's a couple of congratulations that we need to give you. First of all, well, we're talking about 7 weeks now already after the Manchester Marathon, at which you ran a time of 2:31:25, which was a PB of about 4 minutes or so, and third place, and was also, importantly, a qualifying time for the European Championships and the Commonwealth Games. And there's been a more recent announcement, which is a big congratulations that you've been selected for the England team to run at the Commonwealth Games in Birmingham in July. So congratulations for both of those things. I suppose if we get into the Commonwealth Games announcement first, what was your immediate reaction? Did you know it was on the cards after Manchester? And what was your immediate emotion hearing about your selection?
Well, I suppose it was more shock, because I knew that the first, so I think the default, whoever won Manchester, as long as they got within the qualifying time, it was default kind of they got first dibs on whether they wanted to go to the Commonwealth Games. So I, being in third, I wasn't really expecting it. So yeah, that was a surprise. But yeah, a lovely surprise. Nice surprise.
And how did you find out? Was it a call or an email, or how did you hear?
It was a phone call, yeah.
Cool. Okay. So we're about, so it's 30th of July is the big day. So we're sitting about 10 weeks away. So I suppose, is that a relatively quick turnaround between Manchester and Birmingham, or I suppose a quicker one than you might normally run two marathons? And how have you managed that to recover from Manchester and then get back into your marathon training?
So I kind of find, with marathon training, if you have too much time, you can basically end up getting injured, because you can't train, you can't do marathon training for 14 weeks. It's just not, you know, your body would just not be able to take it. And it's usually, you're kind of on this knife edge, and you need to get the timing of when you break or when the marathon is. So actually for me, well, I don't know yet, because I haven't really got into the full training block, but at the moment it feels quite good that actually it's not kind of 6 months, it's you know, it's I don't know, was it 4 months between or something, 3 months? Mm-hmm. So I think in terms of timing it actually works quite well. Okay. So I kind of had a couple of weeks down after Manchester, and then you know, sort of just started gently building back up, but I kind of set myself quite strict mileage limits, so I don't kind of get carried away too soon, you know, because it's really exciting and you want to kind of jump straight in, but actually that's not the sensible thing to do. There's no point being fit, you know, 6 weeks before, you know, because all you've got to do is just maintain that, bringing all the risk with that. So yeah, kind of is, I think it's good timing.
Good. Okay. And then, so as I said, we're about 10 weeks out, so you're sort of gently getting into it now, and I suppose your hope to peak, well, I guess I'll ask you, when would you sort of peak mileage, and when will those really big marathon sessions be taking place?
So I suppose probably do, I mean, again, every build is different, so I don't really know how my legs are going to take the training, but usually I plan to do the biggest week between 3 to 4 weeks out, and then I'll probably step down 2 weeks out, but not a significant step down.
Okay.
You know, maybe drop to, I don't know, 100 miles or something for the last couple of weeks, before then I'll do 1 week taper.
Okay, so that's something that you've used before and has worked well for you.
Yeah, so I mean, I think I find with a marathon, most of the learning I've had has been learning how to train and how to get the most out of the training block. And you know, each build has been slightly different because obviously you want to iterate and you want to get better. So I kind of look back and think, okay, actually I felt my body felt broken on the start line. That didn't quite work. And look back and see, okay, what I could have done better. And I think, yeah, I find that with the taper in particular, it's kind of it's a balance between you want to keep your body moving and used to the mileage without doing more damage than you need to. So I will kind of, as it comes, I'll see how my body's feeling. But ideally, I wouldn't usually do more than one kind of, like the week before the race is kind of maybe 2/3 of the mileage. But obviously it's a trade-off between if I'm feeling tired and sore, then I will have to drop back more, but I'd rather not be in that position.
Okay, so it sounds as if you're fairly, are you self-coached then?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, and yeah. It sounds as if it's sort of a listening to the body exercise throughout rather than this is on the program, so this is what I'm going to do regardless. Is that fair?
Yeah, so I suppose I kind of find with marathon training, the main challenge is not to get injured. So like, it's relatively straightforward to get fit. It's kind of, you've just got to run a lot of miles. Mm-hmm. Obviously not always as fast as you can, but you know, as at a pace that you can sustain for that mileage. But then the next challenge is, how do I get through that without getting injured? So yeah, the focus very much is on how the body is responding to the training and how you can adapt the training to get the most out of it without kind of pushing yourself into the red from a muscle or joints point of view. So I like to have my plan of the actual mileage and the paces I'm going to do, but very much fitting in with how I'm feeling and then just adjusting as I'm going.
Okay, and do you use anything in particular to guide you with that? Are you someone who runs to heart rates or RPEs or anything like that, or is it just based on solely on feel and paces?
So basically there's obviously with each run you do or with each week or with each block, there's how fast you run and there's how far you go, and they add together to make an overall training stress. And I kind of think, well, if my legs feel good, you can potentially run, faster, but then you wouldn't run as far. Mm-hmm. Or if your legs feel tired, you can actually run further, but it just has to be slower. So it's kind of balancing the pace and how far I'm going, depending on how I'm feeling. So that's kind of, I try not to have too rigorous a plan and just try and be flexible and adjust to how things are going.
Okay. And have you considered or previously had a coach and you just find that you are better suited to being self-coached, or what's the situation there?
So with marathon running, I've never really had a kind of formal coach. I mean, I think what's quite nice about the running community is there's lots of, everybody talks about running because everybody loves talking about, all runners love talking about running. So I think there's a lot of, learning that you can take from having chats with people on runs and kind of, feeding off each other and getting ideas. And so there's always been an element of that and kind of working together to kind of, help each other improve kind of your running times. So yeah, I haven't, I'm not formally coached or haven't really been coached for the marathon.
Just lastly then I suppose if we look ahead or look back at your build up before Manchester, obviously as we said, it was a 4-minute PB. So there obviously must have been things that have gone well during that build up. Were there any sort of points along the build up that you felt or knew you were in really good shape, or were there any sessions you did which you thought, oh wow, that's quicker than I've ever done before? Anything like that stuck out in your mind before Manchester?
So I just want to caveat that PB. So that PB was in super shoes and I'd never run in super shoes before. So I'm not actually kind of, it is a PB on paper, but in reality, in my head, I kind of class my 235 in my hyper speeds as being kind of my
Oh, really? Okay.
that's my PB.
That's interesting.
But yeah, there was nothing that I'd there was nothing in my Manchester build up where I thought, you know, there's always, you know, uncertainty. You never know exactly what time your body's really going to be capable of. But I think what I did find with the Manchester build up is I just really wanted to be on that start line. Like that was a huge motivator for me. So that really helped me make some sensible decisions and not get carried away. So I think that I kind of had the confidence on the start line that at least I kind of really looked after myself and made sure that I was in a position to kind of maximize the fitness I had on the start line. So I think that was, yeah, that was definitely something that I felt quite positive about. But yeah, it's, in terms of marathon build up, it's definitely not my highest mileage marathon build up, not my fastest. Yeah, I think those the shoes probably did make quite a significant difference.
So going forward, are you sticking with the super shoes, or are they not to come out again? What's your thinking on the shoes in general, and
so,
when will you decide to wear them on or not wear them?
So I suppose if there's, you know, a selection, you're competing against other people to potentially be selected for something, not wearing the super shoes,
right,
you know, puts, you know, why would you put yourself at a disadvantage? You know, it's within the rules. You might not like the rules, but actually they are the rules. And yeah, moral high ground doesn't necessarily get you, it doesn't get you selected. So I don't want to be on a start line putting myself at a 5-minute disadvantage. I mean, I think it'd be very difficult for most people to make that decision. But what I would like to do in the future is when it's kind of more, I'm not going to be, it's not a selection thing, or it's just for me,
yeah,
I'd like to do a marathon in my hyperspeeds and try and get a PB.
Okay.
And then I can compare it.
Yeah,
that's something I would really like to do. Whether I'll ever be in a position to actually do that, whether I'll kind of want to pursue, you know, being selected for things in the future, I'll have to see. But if that opportunity does come around, I would really like to take that.
Okay, so that, perhaps that speaks to your goals and ambitions before Manchester then. It was very much you were running that race to compete with others. It wasn't you weren't there to improve your personal best. You wanted to finish up as high in the field as possible then.
Well, I think Manchester was, there were kind of multiple things going on. So I hadn't done a fast marathon since before the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
So I was really keen just to be on a marathon start line. That was one thing. And then I suppose it was a selection race.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought I might be in with an outside shot at it.
Mm-hmm.
So I was kind of thinking, well, you know, if I don't wear the shoes, then I'm probably not going to be within a shot. Whereas if I do, I might be. So it was kind of a weighing up of that. And to be honest, it was, yeah, I don't feel particularly comfortable wearing the super shoes. It's not an easy decision for me, and it doesn't sit well with me. But yeah, it's part of the event now. And yeah, I kind of wanted to give myself the best chance of being selected if I, you know, if that was going to be a possibility.
Oh, great. Okay. So in that case then, looking forward to Birmingham, as we said, yourself and Johnny Miller, who also ran at Manchester, were announced for the Commonwealth Games. Currently, the only two athletes in terms of the marathon announced for the Games. What are your feelings looking ahead to it? Obviously, a home Games, Birmingham. Are you excited now? Are you focused now? Do you let yourself think about the race? And how will you approach this race? Is it a case of competing again against those around you, or are you, if I run this time, then I should finish at this sort of place? Do you have any of those thoughts just now?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously I'm really, really excited. Like I actually just can't wait. I have it's to be honest, it's been occupying my mind for, every day I'm thinking about it. Which is great to have such a strong motivator to get out there and enjoy running. Like I absolutely love to have that kind of that goal. But yeah, I'm trying not to get carried away too soon. But yeah, and in terms of the race itself, so I think obviously time isn't, I'm not going to get a PB. It's I think it's relatively hilly course. And being the end of July, I think the women's race starts at 10:30 or something. So it might be fairly warm. Because I think Manchester was like 1 degree or something. It was perfect marathon running conditions. Whereas yeah, Birmingham will yeah make for great racing kind of conditions in terms of having to adapt. But yeah, it's not PB conditions. So I think I want to be on the start line in PB shape, but knowing that I'm not going to get an actual PB.
Okay.
And I suppose my main aims would be to pace it sensibly, not to blow up. Like, I don't want to blow up in front of the home crowd. That won't be fun. Yeah, I really want to just pace it well and just do a performance that I'm proud of. Realistically, I'm not going to finish near the top. But I think I could still get quite a lot out of the day. I just want to put a performance out there that I'm just really proud of. And yeah, I'm looking forward to kind of, I think my family's all going to come and watch and just kind of, yeah, waving to them, yeah, in the crowd.
Yeah, proud moment, I'm sure. Yeah. Okay, that's really good. So what I've seen from the course, you mentioned the course, apparently it's a two lap 18 kilometers. So two laps of 18 kilometers and then a 6K towards the Victoria Square, which is a bit more central. So yeah, hopefully a course that the streets will be lined with lots of fans and spectators, which will hopefully add to the atmosphere. And yeah, it'd be great to have your family and friends there as well. Not too far to get across to either from Cambridge. So that's good. Okay. Looking ahead then, or I suppose if you change tack slightly there, your previous bests, you mentioned, I think you ran Valencia Marathon a couple of times. So that's where your 235 is. And it's a race you've run more than once. So is that a particular favorite of yours? How did that 235 run go for you? Is it one with fond memories in Valencia?
Yeah, so I've done Valencia. I think I've done it 3 times. And so what was quite good is when I was doing duathlon still, the duathlon season kind of spring, summer, autumn. And duathlon training's not, it's not always that compatible with marathon training. So actually targeting a December marathon fitted in quite well with my schedule. So that's partly why, yeah, and Valencia's really fast. Really, really fast course. Yeah, and so I did my PV there in 2019. I on the start line, I felt like I'd done a marathon. Like I was not in a good place to run hard. I think I just needed another week, 10 days to bring my body back together. I was, yeah, I mean, to be honest, it goes to show the amount of, how great adrenaline is, because it did obviously mask a lot of kind of the aches and pains as I was running, and I did still manage to put out the 235. But yeah, I think I could have gone a bit faster had I not been quite so yeah, fatigued.
And is that fatigued from, fatigued from your duathlon season, or do you think you just got the taper and the training slightly off?
Oh, I got completely carried away with the training. I just did too many miles too close to the day. And I was that was so that because that was before the pandemic, I was run commuting to work, and I'd run with a rucksack with all my, probably the rucksack was best part of 3 kilos. And then you're training in the winter, so you've got all your layers on, and it was just a pretty grueling training period, and I think it just took a bit too much out of me.
So you sound like someone who's quite happy with the volume side of things. So you're quite happy to run lots of miles in a week. And do you think that comes from a background in multi-sport, where perhaps there are more hours per week dedicated to training? Or do you think you're just, you adapt better from the big mileage?
So I think the reason I'm relatively comfortable with doing higher mileage is that, so the direction I've always come at with marathon training is not trying to train as fast as I can. It's trying to maximize the distance and then build in the pace once the legs have adapted. So I probably started doing, building up to high mileage running in 2015. So I've had a lot of years to build up, like, you know, it takes years for your tendons, ligaments, everything to kind of build up and adjust to it. So yeah, I've always approached it kind of from a mileage point of view rather than, you know, how fast. I don't kind of sprint out the door. I'm kind of, running quite gentle paces.
Okay. We mentioned duathlon a couple of times now, and I read recently that you've said duathlon isn't finished. It's just on pause for now. So that's something you see yourself going back to in the future.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not ruling it out. I mean, I really do love racing duathlon, and but I think I'm realizing with the marathon, the commitment that it takes. I'll see how things go. I would really like to get back to it. It's just it's also working out, just trying to how to fit it in around work and stuff, because it's just a little bit more difficult. And I'm going to tear myself away from doing high mileage running, which because high mileage running doesn't really work with cycling. It just saps the energy out of your legs. And really on the bike, you need to be quite explosive and be able to kind of attack and keep up with, in the bunch racing. So, I would really like to, race duathlons again in the future. I just need to plan and make sure it can all fit together.
I should say for some of our listeners, duathlon is a run followed by a bike followed by another run. That's right, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I did a bit of a had a look up before we spoke, and typically you're looking at around 10k ish for running, and then between 40 and 60k worth of cycling, followed by another 10k ish run. Is that typically what the type of distances that you've raced over?
So there are two distances. There's sprint distance and Olympic distance. So sprint distance typically takes around an hour, and it's a 5k run, a 20k bike, and then a 2.5k run. And then there's Olympic distance, which is a 10k run, 40k bike, 5k run. And that's roughly 2 hours depending on the course. And I've raced at both distances.
And you've raced and you've been very successful. So you were, and correct me if I'm any mistakes here, so you won the World Junior Championships in 2013, I believe. European Under 23 Championships in 2014.
Forgot about that one.
And a bronze medalist at the senior level in 2018 at the World Championships in Denmark. So a host of medals there. So obviously very performing at a very elite level. What is it about that type of event that you're drawn to?
In terms of duathlon?
Duathlon,
I mean, duathlon is... So it's got all the good bits of running, but then the exciting, unpredictable element of the bike. So the duathlons I've raced are drafting. So that just means on the bike, you can work together. It's just always really exciting. So you kind of and there's like the tactical element on the bike as well. So I quite like that it's kind of the pure endurance of the running coming together with the more dynamic cycling event, and then you've also got the transition, so getting back onto your bike and getting off your bike, it kind of all it all comes together as a really exciting, unpredictable event. And yeah, I have done so I used to race in the French Grand Prix Duathlon League. So they have kind of five or six races in France throughout the year. And there was one event each year, there's one event where it's run, bike, run, bike, run, which is it's chaos, but really good fun. They're always really cool courses in these little French towns. The whole town shuts down and to watch everybody charge through on their bikes. Yeah, it's just fun. Like it really is.
And are you someone, is your strength within the run amongst the you other two athletes? Are you so, or are you strong on the bike as well as much as you are on the run?
I mean, it kind of really depends how much training I've been doing and what my training's been skewed towards. I think usually, so I in Denmark in 2018 when I finished third, I think my disciplines were actually fairly equal in terms of my strengths. I mean, I've cycled from quite a young age and quite comfortable on my bike, kind of took running and cycling up at sort of the same point. Whereas often with multi-sport events, people are coming from one sport and then having to take up,
Yes.
another. But yeah, I've been fortunate enough that I've always cycled and ran.
Yeah, and that performance in Denmark, that must have been a, well, I suppose that one of the highlights of your sporting career to date.
Yeah, no, it really was. I wasn't expecting to finish third. I mean, with duathlon, it's not really you can't expect to finish anywhere because you don't know it's always what's going to happen. But yeah, I did. So in Denmark, I came off the bike in first, and that was an amazing feeling running out of transition, leading the world championships. But it wasn't to be. I couldn't quite hold on. But yeah, just to get a medal and to be on the podium, it was just an amazing feeling.
Amazing. Okay, great. All right. So George, we like to look at our guests' PBs quite often on this. So there's obviously just running PBs, and there might be some differences, I guess, with your background in duathlon. But I've got a few PBs here. So for your 5K, I've got either 16:32 if we're including park run, or 16:33 if we're not. So that's what we've got there. Is that right?
Yeah, I'd have to look at power of 10, but I think,
Yeah,
yeah, I
so
don't think park run, that's not UKA certified
no.
5K.
Okay, great. Yeah, so these are all taken from Power of 10. Your 10K 33:36, which was 2021, where you won in Northampton, so a first place finish there. Your half marathon was this year in your build up to Manchester at Cambridge, where you came second in 72:18, and we've spoken about your marathon. 2:31 with the shoes, 2:35 without the shoes. Are there any sort of specific ones out of that list that you think actually you really want to attack in the future? I suppose the marathon, but anything aside from that you think is about time you took down?
So last year I did the Antrim half and I did 71 minutes and I don't know, 12, 13 seconds or something. And that was in no super shoes. And
Okay.
so I was really chuffed with that time. But then Antrim, I think, was
Sure.
measured 50 meters short. So what's that? 10 seconds of running. Very, very frustrating. But so I would really like
Okay.
to attack that. And yeah, because my Cambridge, the half that I did in Cambridge, that was a month before Manchester and that was 72 minutes. And I wanted to try out, that was basically to try out the super shoes because I'd never worn them before. I was like, oh, I've got to do some running in them. So yeah, the half marathon is something I
Okay.
want to do.
And will you look to try and incorporate a half or anything else in the build-up now before July in Birmingham, do you think?
I would like to do some racing. I need to have a think about exactly what's going to fit in.
Okay.
But I don't think I'll try and get a half PB. It would just be too risky. before.
Okay. We also like to look at our guests' first entry into Power of 10 quite often. And yours is the 6th of January in 2008, which was a cross-country race in the Cambridge Champs. And I think you finished 7th. And I don't know if I'm pronouncing this right. St. Neots, is that right?
Yeah.
And you were an under 15 at that point. So any memories of that those days, sort of racing cross country as an under 15 and cycling, I assume, at the same sort of time as well?
Yeah, so I remember that race really vividly. So it was, I remember going, I think mum and dad drove me there, and dad was talking to me in the car. He was saying, oh, you know, if you finish, I think it was in the top eight, you know, you qualify for the Intercounty Cross Country Championships. And my mum was kind of telling him, you know, don't put any pressure on her. Just, you know, it's fun. It's not about qualifying for the Intercounties. And then in the race, when I didn't know what place I was in, I just knew that I was just running and enjoying it. And then I crossed the finish line, and they gave everyone who finished in the top seven or eight a letter, which was, you know, inviting them to the Intercounty. And I got this letter and I was just so excited. And yeah, my dad picked me up at the finish, and it was really, really cool feeling.
That's good. And that's
start
really good.
Of a running journey.
And were your parents influential? Were they runners or cyclists themselves, which is why perhaps you picked it up, or was it something that you found on your own?
So my dad's always cycled. Okay. That's kind of been his thing. And then, I think my parents were just keen to just get us involved in lots of sports growing up. And, you know, Cambridge is very cycling friendly, so we always, you know, cycled to school and went on kind of cycling holidays and, you know, cycling day trips. So kind of always had, you know, sport or more, I suppose, being physically active as part of growing up, and that love of kind of moving and, you know, being outside. Kind of neither of my parents have had a history of kind of competitive sport. You know, I think it's more just a nice kind of side effect of being active and finding a love for a sport is then, you know, being able to compete and potentially doing quite well. So it was kind of, it was never like a, you know, I was never kind of pushed or, you know, just really just had so much support from them.
Okay. And as you say, they'll be there in Birmingham, touch wood, in July.
Yeah.
Great. Okay, well, George, we'll finish with some quick fire questions, if that's okay.
Okay.
Well, they're supposed to be quick fire, but people always take quite a while with them, so that's absolutely fine. Okay, the first one, which is one that we ask everyone. If you could go for a run, or in your case, a cycle, with any sports person, dead or alive, and it doesn't have to be running or cycling, who would it be?
Oh, it's tricky.
Aside from your running and your cycling, are you into any or many other sports?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, I can't. It's difficult to know who you'd want to go for a run with, because you want to go with someone who's not going to go too fast.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's okay.
We'll nobody specific comes to mind.
No. You didn't have a poster on the wall of anyone when you were young, anything like that, any sporting heroes?
No. I didn't.
Okay, that's fine, no worries. What we'll do then, if you could go back in time to witness any sporting event live, which one would you choose?
Oh, well, I didn't get any tickets to London 2012, so to be honest, any event at London 2012 I would have loved to have gone to watch. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
okay. I suppose the Brownlees and the triathlon would have been a big deal for you back then, would it?
Yeah, so I think I did go and watch the triathlon that wasn't ticketed, But yeah, I'd love to have gone into like a, you know, either into the stadium or, you know, watched gymnastics or swimming or yeah, anything would have been cool.
Cool. Okay. If you could be a professional athlete in a sport aside from running or cycling, would you have one that springs to mind?
No, I mean, being a professional athlete is not something that I'd like to do. No, I can't think of
okay.
Sport, no.
What was your post-marathon meal after Manchester? Did you treat yourself to anything that you don't normally, or what's your favourite sort of go-to meal that you don't often have?
I think we just stopped off at a petrol station on the way home.
Petrol station sandwich it is. Cool. Okay, and finally, are you someone who has any sort of pre-race rituals or superstitions, or listens to a certain music before a race or anything like that?
No, I try not to get hung up on that because I think I'd end up getting an unhealthy attachment to something that has absolutely no consequence on my performance.
Cool. Well, listen, George, thank you very much for your time. Congratulations again on your run at Manchester and your selection for the Commonwealth Games. We'll be cheering you on in July, and good luck with the build. Don't get injured. And we'll see you soon.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Thanks.
Thank you.